Dear listeners, this podcast is created by the Linguist team. If you want to practice and improve your English, go to our website, linguistov.ru. And if you want to share your opinion and ideas regarding our discussions, you can email us at info@linguistov.ru.
Guys?
Well, I'm asking the audience.
Oh, yes.
They're supposed to answer, you know. Like, we are good, thank you.
Sort of like a psychological session, you know?
Yes, yes.
Like
a by the way, did you know that you actually can't answer, I'm good? You have to say,
I know.
But I googled it, and half of the America says, I'm good.
You're not good. Superman is good.
Yes,
I've
seen, I've seen the doodle. Yeah. But, and that actually was the reason why I started Googling. Because I always said I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I still say I'm good. And I Googled it and I found the answer that although grammatically correct would be to say I'm doing well or I'm very well.
Mm-hmm.
But just because the United States is a very illiterate country, they say I'm good. I mean, sorry, Americans. But anyway, that I guess that is just a habit. I mean, I wish I could change, but this is years and years of this mistake. So anyway, I'm doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you?
I'm all right. I had my Chinese classes.
Say something in Chinese.
I don't know. My favorite expression is Bujidao.
What does it mean?
I don't understand. Or I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know.
There was a very complicated sentence. What I hate about Chinese language is that you know all the words, you know the pronunciation. This is not the most difficult thing about Chinese language. The most difficult thing is the syntax. I mean, the logic of the language is just, you can't understand it.
And is there any word order in the Chinese?
Yeah,
or
there is, yeah. But it is also quite peculiar. Because you have to feel the language. It's not a matter of understanding, you have to feel it. And in order to feel it, you have to have experience in it. We're asking, could you give us some kind of, you know, way of...
Some curse words.
Yes.
Silence file feelers, or how are they
called? It's true. So, and he said, Ni Mei. Yeah, which means your sister.
It means like your bra, your sister.
It's like a curse expression. So you say, oh, your sister. That means, well... Maybe...
So it's not the problem is not only in syntax, I think the problem is in the logic as well. I have just seen the legendary August for the first time in my life.
It's just because the door is closed.
The door is closed.
And yeah, and he's a bit claustrophobic. And I think that his fear of closed spaces just...
is bigger than his fear of strangers.
Yeah, that's right. So... what was I talking about? Oh yeah, about my trip. Yeah, the whole trip, it was a bit complicated because we started in Paris, and then we traveled around Paris and in Paris. Then we went to Provence, to different places there, to different cities, and then straight to Turin, and from there to Vercelli. There we traveled to Milan, to the Italian Alps, so...
So it wasn't your first trip in France, was it?
No, it was the third.
The third?
Yeah, the third trip in France.
So did anything change?
It was a completely different experience. Because for the first two times, I was accompanied by a French person.
So you didn't have to worry about anything?
I didn't have to worry about anything. And this time I had to communicate with everyone. I had to arrange certain things. I had to choose the restaurants. I had to choose the hotels. It was very interesting because we saw many places that I haven't been before. And for example, we went to the famous catacombs. It's like a giant tunnel filled with bones. They're not just piled in this tunnel. They are arranged in a beautiful order.
By size?
By size, by...
age?
There are some patterns. there is like a tunnel on the left and on the right, you have bones. And the closest to you are usually thigh bones and skulls, because they are sort of the most...
The most beautiful ones.
Yeah, and they are arranged in the order. So, and you have patterns, it's like, you know, they're decorative elements, and sort of...
So they died in the special order, or someone arranged them?
No, I guess that in Middle Ages, I think, they had plague, some kind of illness, and they were scared that because of this, the rotting bodies in the cemeteries, everyone will die because of these illnesses. So they decided to store all the bones somewhere underground.
Oh, so they were already dead.
They were already dead.
Oh, yeah. That's not that. Because I was imagining this, you know. Oh, no, die up there. No. You're spoiling the whole picture.
Don't move.
Lift your hand up. You can only die in that position.
That's right.
So if they were already dead and then put that's not that interesting. Mm. But anyway.
But you see, first you enter this place and sort of scared because there's so many bones. But after, I guess, like, after already 15 minutes walking and seeing everything that you see around you, just bones, you sort of start to get used to it.
Yeah.
And
then you start missing them.
when you go outside.
Aren't that many as in the previous one.
And when you go out, you sort of miss them, you think, oh, that place would probably do with a nice pile of bones.
Yeah. and then you start collecting your own ones.
Yeah. Oh, please die in this such a position. I need it.
Because that's the whole point. Because if you rearrange after the person's death, that would not be so natural. You know, that wouldn't be that. I don't know, touching.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
They can't move. Mm. Apparently, you have to. You have to make sure they die in a certain position. I like the idea. Well, actually, I think I had similar feelings when I first visited the St. Petersburg Kunstkammerer. And you can see a lot of dead infants and animals in alcohol. The first maybe 2-3 minutes, you get shocks, and then you get used to them, and you think, oh, that is a nice piece. I wish I had it on my table. France and French people, is it true that they eat frogs like on an everyday basis?
No, it's
or is
not
it
true.
Like some on special occasions?
Actually, I found out that I think that Italians eat more frogs than the French people. Because, for example, with my father, it was my friend's family's first time when they ate frogs, and they are already like
in their 60s, 70s.
Yeah, so, and... they don't really eat frogs, and if you walk in Paris, the restaurants that serve frogs are aimed for tourists. And initially, because we were in Piedmont area, my friend actually said that they eat frogs almost every day, because it's a place where they produce rice, and there are a lot of sort of paddy fields.
So they catch the wild frogs?
Yeah, they catch wild frogs, and they prepare them, they make a soup out of them, they... fry them, they
boil
them, yeah. If you catch the small ones, you can eat them like...
Alive?
Yeah. No, not alive! I mean, because the bones are very tender, so you just eat them. I thought that he was joking, but no.
Would you eat a frog for, say, $500?
No, that's too cheap.
$1,000?
$1,000 also.
So what would be the price for you to eat a frog?
Maybe something higher than, I don't know, 50,000 probably.
50,000,
yeah.
No. For 50,000, I'm ready to eat 50 frogs. I would eat a frog even for $100. I mean, I'm really cheap, yeah. When I was in Vietnam, I think the Vietnamese food is much more shocking and adventurous than... Italian and French,
I suppose.
Food. And I actually didn't eat. They like dogs, you know.
Oh.
And they like, again, some insects.
Oh, yeah.
Cockroaches, things like that. So I think that would probably be about $100,000 for me.
The there was one day when my brother didn't feel very well, and I was too bored to stay in the hotel. So I got out of the hotel, and the moment I got out, there was an Asian-looking woman who just ran up to me, and she caught me and started speaking something in French. At first, I couldn't understand what she was saying, and then I understood that she was asking me, "Well, are you alone? Do you want to go and eat with me?" I said, "What? What do you want from me, woman?"
Woman.
She continued. She said, I see that you're alone, that you got out of the hotel, and we stay in the same hotel. Do you want to go and have lunch?" And, I said, "Well, okay, let's go and eat some lunch." And so we started speaking. It turned out that she was Japanese. She was alone in the city, but she actually lives in France, in Lille. And she was in Paris only for one day. And she is actually married to a Belgian guy. But this Belgian man turned out to be not really Belgian, because he's actually Korean. And when he was a child, he was adopted by a Belgian family. And so,
then 20 years later, it turns out that he's not really a Korean guy. He's a Japanese, and they're brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And they can't really have children, and that was the point why her parents didn't want...
You see? Yeah.
See? That's a good script for a soap opera.
Yeah. I think the most impressive thing was when we went to the Alps.
So they look like postcards?
Yeah, exactly. Very much. There are small villages. Everything in Italy is so old. There are some buildings which are, I don't know, like 600 or 700 years old, and people still live there.
What about the small villages? I mean, the small village houses.
Mm-hmm.
I bet the people are not rich who live.
No, really, actually, they are very rich because
they can. They can afford a house.
That's
in such
right.
A place.
And usually, it takes quite a lot of money to, you know, to maintain the houses. Another curious thing about Italy, the quantity of churches and cathedrals, because, for example, in France...
They like them,
they do. Because in France, we sort of entered every church, and they're very nice, they're sort of, you know, even they're Gothic, and Gothic is usually
Gothic is the style itself.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
It's very impressive.
And, I mean, the glass work, and fantastic. We started to do the same thing in Turin.
But after the first 100 of churches...
Yes, I know, yeah. And after we visited... Like,
you started questioning the idea.
And it was only, you know, one street. In this town, Vercelli, there's also sort of a cathedral, St. Andrew's Cathedral. And when we entered this cathedral, there was a priest standing there. He came up to us and he asked...
Italian.
In Italian. I was with my Italian friend.
So he
could translate, yeah. And he decided to show us their hidden treasure. I didn't really understand what it was, but it was some kind of a place where people gathered. They took, for example, if there was a kind of a dispute in this part of the country, they took people there, they asked them to sit down, because it was a room where they just talked,
mm-hmm.
without any argument. On the ceiling there was a four-leaf flower, and he said it is a symbol of peaceful conversation, where you can, you know, solve all the problems by just talking.
Listen to the...
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he showed the paintings, which were also very old, by some amazing artist. And just that he let us in. I mean, perhaps he let other tourists in, but that was something special. Right now, I want to go to China.
Make sure when you go to China, get some huge bags with you.
Okay.
I will tell you what to buy. I will tell you the place where you can buy cheap clothes.
Where were you in China?
I was in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
Then from Beijing, I went to Kunming.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's the south of China. And mm-hmm. on the way to Kunming, we visited several smaller cities.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say the names. I'm sorry. And then from Kunming we went to Laos. I've seen not only Beijing. I mm-hmm. mean, Beijing is like Moscow, yeah, mm-hmm. pretty much. So it's a huge melting pot. Mm-hmm. But I also seen some real China as well.
Yeah.
I think China is like another planet.
Because
mm-hmm. I have never really been to Europe,
mm-hmm.
but I think I won't be very much surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But in China, in Vietnam, everything was so completely different from what you've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, they are so different. So it was like a real eye-opener. You see and you understand that the people are so diverse. You know, I traveled with my friend who didn't speak any English,
mm-hmm.
and he communicated with them much easier than I did. Because I tried to use some, you know, international English words,
mm-hmm.
maybe the easiest words, and they didn't understand me. He used the gestures. So
oh,
they could even have the simplest conversations, you know. So he had no problem with communicating. I tried and I failed. Even Google Translator didn't help,
mm-hmm.
because there are so many Chinese versions.
Just
well, the problem was every time we had some food,
mm-hmm.
like we usually, after a couple of days, we ended up eating noodles, the
mm-hmm.
Chinese noodles. It was okay,
mm-hmm.
but they always added some kind of herb in it,
mm-hmm.
which was disgusting. It tasted like shampoo, you know? And they added it really quick, so you couldn't just hold them by the hand
uh-huh.
and say no. They just throw it in there, and then the whole soup is spoiled
mm-hmm.
because of this herb. I don't know how it's called. And I wish I knew. So, and we tried to explain to them that we want no herb
mm-hmm.
in our soup. And it didn't help. I even typed the English phrase in Google Translate, no herb. I showed it to them. They did not understand. She's like, huh? Eventually, we ended up just catching them by the hand and saying, no. But they got scared.
The same situation
happened in Vietnam.
Mm.
Almost the same herb. Almost the same problem.
Yeah.
So we went to the park in Beijing, and I was just so surprised to see people dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Different couples of different ages. The music, some classical music is playing, and they're dancing
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the day. Just, you know, like, let's dance. Mm-hmm. And they just start dancing, and you just look and like, wow, it's cool.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, there is an amazing thing about Chinese women. Actually, I think many Asian women. Because up to a certain age, they look like 20 or 25.
Because they are usually very small and very delicate.
Yeah.
And,
but like, there is a certain period. They
and then suddenly 70.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
25, 25, 25, 70.
Yeah, that's right. So it's very, very strange.
I just showed Landish my tattoo in Chinese. She failed. Why not Japanese? Are you afraid of Japanese that you won't understand it?
No. Japanese is not very difficult. It's less...
You're so
much
enthusiastic.
It's less difficult than Chinese. And they are very, very similar. And I thought that you have to go from the most difficult to less difficult.
So, does it mean that you are actually planning to to take Japanese classes?
Our teacher, first he learned Chinese, and it took him, I don't know, probably several months to understand Japanese. I mean, he understands Japanese, and it's incredible.
I think it's so addictive. I'm worried about you. I mean, the point is, once you start learning languages, you can't stop.
You can't stop, yeah.
So, I gave up a couple of years ago, after my 20th unsuccessful attempt of learning German, I decided, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So, but I'm worrying about you.
But you remember that I sent you this sort of characteristics of different faculties, and it says about linguists. Yeah.
Study 20 languages, fluent in none of them. You know, a lot of people think, what's the point of learning so many languages
mm-hmm.
if you do not really use them, if you can use English regardless the place
mm-hmm.
you go. But the point is, you get more open
mm-hmm.
to the world, because once you start learning the language, you can understand their mentality,
mm-hmm.
their national character, and
mm-hmm.
you can't do that with English, of course, especially if we talk about Asia. As I said, for me it was like another planet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it's so great.
When I came to France this time, I decided just to speak only French with the French people. I hadn't been speaking this language for about 2 years, I guess. before going, I downloaded a book as 99 francs or something. There was a film. And I started reading it. I thought, oh, that's easy. And then after like a 10th page, I realized that half of it is actually in English. Because it's such a modern book. When we were in Italy, they have a very interesting rule. They say, there is always time to pay and there is always time to die. And that's why you can never make your waiter, you know, be quicker. If you go to a restaurant, you go to enjoy the time. That means that you have the time. And that's why waiters there, they take their time. They do not hurry. And if you start, you know, to ask them to be, you know, to be
a bit faster.
Yeah. They look at you, are you crazy?
You don't have time, why did you have
to? Yeah, that's right.
Place?
So this is the logic.
Well, I agree with this logic, but sometimes it takes too much time. When I was in Thailand, I tried one Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. It was really nice. So I returned. The second time, it took them so long to bring food, about an hour. Mm-hmm. And there were actually many guests there. Mm-hmm. Maybe 3-4 tables were taken. I mean, I was one of them. Mm-hmm. Why so much time? I mean, I waited for 1 hour. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, browsing the internet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't hurry. But then after 1 hour, I started worrying. I'm like, I'm already getting hungry, you know? So I asked them politely when my food would be ready. Mm-hmm. And they were like, I'm coming in another 30 minutes, you know? So, I mean, it's partially true. When you come to a restaurant, it means that you have the time, you want to enjoy the dinner or the company of your friends, but there is always a limit on how much can you wait.
Then I would like to go to Scotland. I want to go finally to Scotland.
I mean, you know what? Don't go to Scotland so soon. I mean, half of your life would have no reason. I mean, make it longer, you know.
Okay.
So the longer you wait, the more pleasing it would be.
Yeah.
So don't go to Scotland that soon. Yeah.
But you have to choose the time of the year, because it rains almost non-stop.
As it says in the little, does it ever stop raining in Scotland? I don't know, I'm only 8.
Yeah. Go to our website, this is the most important thing.
Yes.
For every person, for every living human being to do, is to go to our website to check it out. We have a lot of very interesting articles. Doodles, our famous doodles. You can listen to the previous podcasts.
Yes, you can read the articles if you understand Russian, because most of them are in Russian. You can read interviews with our students.
Yeah.
We have started this section quite recently. Mm-hmm. You can browse the collection of doodles.
Yep.
By the way, the Chinese version of the book is coming. Later we will make a bigger advertisement.
Yeah.
And you can look through the movie discussions.
Yeah, movie discussions.
There are
so many
discussions.
Things.
So there are a lot of things. And you can join our groups in social networks.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
Till next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.